Good morning. Pastor Nick here on this Sunday, May 3rd, and I have the privilege and honor to not only lead us in a message this morning, but it is the first Sunday of the month, so we will be taking communion together as well a little bit later. If you'd like to participate in communion wherever you are right now, I invite you just to quick pause this video, grab the appropriate liquid of your choice, and grab some sort of bread or crackers or pita that is appropriate to you, and have it off to the side for when we get to communion here in just a little bit. Let's start this off by going to God in prayer. Please bow your heads. Lord Jesus, thank you for this brand new day. Thank you, Lord, that we have the privilege to worship you, to look into your word, Lord, and to just get changed and sanctified by you. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for taking care of us. Thank you for never leaving us or forsaking us. Lord, may we have a stronger faith in you today. And we pray all these things, Lord, in your holy and precious name. Amen. So this month, I'm really excited that we are going to be starting a brand new sermon series entitled For Such a Time as This. I believe we all have defining times and moments in our life where we must choose who and what we are going to follow. Are we going to go after a life of ease? Are we going to be part of the normal status quo of the world? Are we going to go after a life of pleasure? Or will we choose, even though it seems counterculture, even though it seems dangerous, and even though it requires a large sacrifice, will we choose to follow the purpose and the time that Jesus has for our life? In the book of Esther, we see this young, newly appointed queen faced with this very same question. It says this: who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Over the next 5 weeks, Pastor Dan and I are going to be asking these types of important questions. And I got to warn you, it's not going to be the most comfortable sermon series ever, but that's okay. Sometimes we need to feel a little bit uncomfortable in our faith in a God-honoring way. Because I believe we as Christians are growing tired of living a life that pursues only safety and pleasure. I believe we're growing tired of wondering if there's more to life than what this world is serving up or dishing up to us. Is there a deeper purpose to these particular times we're living in right now? That's what we're going to be studying these next 5 weeks in the month of May. So today we're going to start off the message by talking about dependence, this idea of dependence on God. I believe it would do us all good to have a deeper, a greater dependence on God, especially for the times we are being faced with right now. So let me start this message off with this. Do you know why God has put you where you are right now? Why has God put you where you are? That's a tough question to answer for some of us. Where has God put you where you are right now at this time in your life? Let me ask this question in a different way now. What will you have to show for your life when you stand before Jesus Christ one day? Will it be your good job? Will it be a college degree? Will you have and show him the money in the bank that you have or all the friends you have? Will it be your huge reputation or a successful career? Will it be the praise of others or a winning record? Will it be a bag full of awards or a shelf full of trophies? You know, I remember not that long ago standing beside a good friend of mine who was in the hospital, who was clearly in the last moments of their life. And this is what my friend said to me. Before you know it, your time on earth will be up. I know it seems long now, but when you are staring back at your life at the end, it will seem to come up quick on you. You know, at the end of our life, I think a lot of the things we work so hard for now will not really matter at that time. I've heard it said like this: only two things in this world are eternal, the Word of God and people. It only makes sense to build our life around those things that are forever, right? The Word of God will last forever, and because of God, people will last forever. Everything else will disappear. So our purpose, our goal, our dependence is truly all about God. So with that, we are going to be looking and reading out of 2 Corinthians this morning. So I encourage you to turn there right now. New Testament, 2 Corinthians. We're going to be in chapter 3, starting with verse 4. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 4. So in 2 Corinthians 3, 4 through 6, the Apostle Paul explains dependence on God like this. He says, "And we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient in ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of this new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives us life." So let's dissect this a little bit. Let's get deeper into this. Let's take the first part of this. We'll start with verse 4. It says, "And we have such trust through Christ toward God." This is clearly not talking about self-confidence or positive self-talk here. This is all about our deep dependence on God. I really believe you could tell a lot about a person with how they talk about themselves. I was a teacher for many years before I entered into full-time ministry. And sometimes, in certain circles, teachers put a lot of stock and a lot of importance on what degree they've received and what certificates they've achieved. And I have found that out in ministry to be the same way. Oftentimes at conferences and workshops, some pastors will talk quite a bit about what degrees they've earned or what school they went to or what seminary they graduated from. These are all fine and good, but if we notice, the Apostle Paul here refuses to play that type of game here in 2 Corinthians. And in all of his writings. Instead, Paul says things like this: "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." That's Philippians 4:13. He also says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me." That's Galatians 2:20. He also says, "Yet indeed I count it all loss for the excellence and the knowledge of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count those old things as rubbish, that I may gain Christ." That's Philippians 3:8. So clearly Paul's dependency, Paul's confidence came from Jesus Christ. Let's continue now in 2 Corinthians 3. Let's go to the next verse, verse 5 now. Here's what verse 5 says. It says, "Not that we are sufficient in ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God." This is such an important statement from Paul because Paul could have easily felt secure in his own talents, as in his own gifts, and in what he was trained to do. Let's talk about his training real quick. Before he came to know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, Paul was an expert in Old Testament law. Paul was able to speak several languages fluently. Paul was at home wherever he was, whether that was in Rome or Jerusalem. So if anyone had reason to brag right now, it was Paul. But he says here he's not dependent on himself. He makes no claim for himself, and he says anything that he accomplishes is really from the Lord. So that brings us to something to remember. Greatness does not need an introduction. Greatness does not need a platform to get the upper hand or the inside scoop or the inside angle on someone or something. Instead, when God does the introduction, and when God works through us to see it to completion, that those who are supposed to notice, those who are supposed to hear, and those who are supposed to listen, will. It would be good for all of us to remember this more. Finally, in verse 6, this last verse from 2 Corinthians 3, verse 6 says this: "Who also made us sufficient as ministers of this new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." This new covenant here refers to God's plan of salvation, where we get to proclaim His truth, and where He sends His Holy Spirit in us to dwell in our heart and soul. And that's the difference here between what they're talking about, the letter and the Spirit. The letter, which they're referring to the law there, is not bad, it's not obsolete, it's not worthless. The law serves many purposes. Probably the main thing the law does is it reveals our own selfishness, and it reveals our sinfulness. However, the law by itself can never change our heart and soul. The law can tell me not to do something, but the law can never change my inner desires on that. The law punishes, but the law can never transform. And the law can never sanctify us, can it? We are not dependent on how hard we try. I can't emphasize that enough. We are not dependent on how hard we put into place our self-will or our discipline. Because the truth of the matter is, the harder we try in our own strength and in our own will, the more we will fail. But if we are in Christ and the Holy Spirit dwells in us, then the Spirit creates a brand new desire in us. The Spirit creates a deeper dependence to obey the law. It's the Holy Spirit actually accomplishing it through us. But in our flesh, most of us at some time or another have a selfish flesh need to prove ourselves to ourselves, and many times prove ourselves to others. And this is difficult not to do because we are being constantly measured and evaluated and put on the scale of life sometime, somewhere during our days, during our life. And we can't really escape that reality because we can't control if others judge us or compare us or rank us. We have no control over that. But here's what we can do. We can remind ourselves that we are dependent on Christ alone. Jesus Christ has given us whatever we need to do whatever He calls us to do. Let me repeat that one. Christ has given us whatever we need to do whatever he calls us to do. So whatever gets accomplished in our life, whether we think it's small or whether it seems big and there's bright lights and brings with it great recognition, whatever it is, it truly all comes only from God. And without the Lord, nothing good, nothing eternal will ever get accomplished, that's for sure. So fame is really nothing. Publicity is really nothing. Popularity is really nothing. But serving the Lord and being dependent on Him, that is everything. So if you will jump ahead with me just really quick, just a few verses here. We're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting with verse 1 now. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1. Paul gives us application now on this greater dependence with God. 2 Corinthians 4:1 says this: "Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart." So this ministry they're talking about that we have, this is the freedom to share the truth of the gospel. And it's a mercy that's been given to us. Why? So we do not lose heart. That is so very important because life is tough, isn't it? And we are not Superman, and we are not Wonder Woman. As Christians living in this world, we get tired. We get discouraged. We face many situations where there is deep pain. We have questions that cannot always be answered. And sometimes we struggle with life overwhelming us. But we do not lose heart. We do not give up as Christians. And that's the whole point, isn't it? We keep going because our purpose, our dependence is from God. Not in our circumstances and not in ourselves, but only on God. So, at the end of our life, we may have the privilege of someone asking us, was it worth it? Was your life worth it? I think the answer to that is going to depend on what we were living for in the time we have right now. If we are living for the world's applause or the world's acceptance or the world's praise, then our life will come up short at the end. But if we are living with a greater dependence on God, then we can truly count it all joy, especially in the end, in our end days. God is the only one who has the power and ability to meet our needs. No one can meet all of our needs except for Jesus. And only He is the person who is qualified for such a task as that. Truly, for such a time as this, it's time for a greater dependence on Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you for the everlasting reality of your word, Lord. And thank you that because of you, because of what you've done, Lord, we can live with you forever. We can live with you right now here on this earth. You're with us every moment. You live inside of us. Lord, we can also live with you in eternity. Let us not lose sight of that, Lord, when we are going through life with its ups and downs. Thank you, Lord, for that never-ending hope. May our faith continue to just grow strong in you as we learn to trust you more. We just pray all these things, Lord, in your holy name. Amen. So, as promised, we are going to transition into communion right now. So I invite you to grab your elements if you don't have them near you right now. Grab the bread that signifies Christ's body, and grab the cup that signifies Christ's precious blood. And we are going to be taking communion together. So the theme of our communion this morning is on this concept of self-evaluation. I'm going to read out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting with verse 27. It says this, "Therefore, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing, then he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup." That is saying here that we are to do constant self-examination on ourselves. And we are to then repent of any sinful thought or word or actions or attitudes that come out of us. And again, may we remember that it's nothing that we muster up ourselves, but rather it's all about what God has already accomplished. That's because Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross fully covers and wipes out all of our sins. Jesus takes our unworthiness and he gives us total and complete forgiveness. That is such incredible news. So if you do have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and if you have accepted that and daily reflect on that for what Christ has done for you on the cross to take away your sins, then you have a place, you have an important place at the communion table this morning. It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. It doesn't matter young or old. If you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you belong to him, and that means you belong at the communion table. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray that you prepare our hearts right now, prepare our minds to be able to take communion. Thank you, Lord, for the concept of communion that we are to remember. Thank you for the example that you showed us. May we remember it, Lord, not only once a month, but may we remember it every day. May we not take for granted your sacrifice, Lord, that will last for all eternity. May we not lose sight of that. Lord, prepare our hearts and our minds right now. Lord, let us get right with you by repenting and accepting, Lord, what you've done for us afresh right now. Lord, may we take a few moments and think on that. Lord Jesus, thank you for the opportunity to be able to take communion before you. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Jesus, talking to his disciples on the final night with them, took some bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, and he gave it to them, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, broken for you. Please partake of the bread when you are ready." Likewise, when Jesus had taken the cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is the new covenant which is poured out for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. Please partake of the cup when you are ready. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for that never-ending hope, that never-ending peace that we get from you. Thank you, Lord, for all of the rich blessings you give us in our life. And thank you, Lord, that even the hard moments, even the challenging moments, Lord, are for our good. Everything works, Lord, for our good through you. May we not lose sight of that. Because, Lord, at the end of our life, we do want to be able to say that our life was worth it. Our life of living for you and serving you, serving others, was truly worth it, Lord. May we be in that truth. Thank you, Lord. And in your precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us for the message, for communion. Isn't it beautiful that even though we are not together physically, we can still worship together, we can still take communion together as a church body. We praise God for that. Hey, enjoy this Sunday, and always remember that God is in control, and may we continue to go deeper into Him as our faith grows. God bless. And we will be talking very soon. Bye-bye.